We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
11 o'clock, hour number two of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the Show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier. Steve Serta is producing this bad boy. Coming up shortly, we'll be joined by former Kansas City Star writer and current co-host of Speak for Yourself on FS1, Jason Whitlock. Remember, Show and Vern is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the Fix and Flip guys at KCLend.com. It is continuing to be Christmas in July, and today is Thirsty Thursday all day long on 610 Sports Radio. Here on Show and Vern, each segment you'll have a chance to win two items. In this segment, you have a chance to win $50 to Rye on the Plaza. Two opportunities to win that each and every time you hear these sleigh bells. We're 3 for 3. Caller number 15 is awarded a $50 gift card to Rye on the Plaza.
All right. The Hush Puppies.
Oh, yeah. Don't they have some sort of dipping sauce to go?
Yeah, they sure do.
My fault. Yeah, it's good. Thank you for inviting me that one time. All right, so since we're joined here by Jason Whitlock, and Jason, the Tyreek Hill story has become a big thing here locally in Kansas City, and I even heard you speaking about it yesterday on Speak for Yourself. And my thoughts, my opinion has not changed since hearing the new audio. I felt before he should not be on the team, and I feel still that he should not be on the team. You yesterday said that you thought his suspension should be longer, and it should be a long suspension after hearing the full 11 minutes. Most people were changed. I'm curious why you didn't see a place where he should be, it should be changed, or his suspension time should be lower.
Because I didn't feel like I heard someone that was being remotely honest. And I didn't feel like I thought, you know, his relitigation of what happened in 2014 didn't strike me as authentic or honest. And it didn't, certainly didn't. I see a lot of people seem to think that that made them sway that, oh, man, maybe 2014 didn't happen. Maybe he never hit her. I just didn't hear it that way. I felt like I heard someone that was a bit delusional or irrational, and I felt like Crystal Espinal had probably had this argument with him 100 times since 2014, and in this instance was just like, I ain't even going there. I've heard this dude irrationally say he never did anything. And so she just didn't respond because she's been in that conversation a million times with him and has heard him say, and, you know, it's like when she was like, well, how did I get the bruises? And he said, well, I didn't punch you in the face, or did I punch you in the face? Did I punch you in the lips or whatever? And so to me, and keep in mind, I never heard the original Channel 5 audio. When they said they were playing an excerpt, I just didn't participate, didn't really care. And so this was the first time I'd heard any of it. And so when I hear him in the debate discussion about their young son, their three-year-old son, and he basically seemed the cop to punching the boy in the chest, the three-year-old child in the chest, and his hard-line tactics with a three-year-old child, thinking that it's appropriate to spread his arms and punch him in the chest. When I hear someone in that mindset, it's like, okay, this dude can punch a three-year-old child in the chest, and I'm supposed to believe he wouldn't assault a grown woman, a crime that he pled guilty to. So I just didn't hear anything in the entire 11 minutes that I thought exonerated Tyreek Hill. I heard someone that I felt like needs a lot of help, is not in a good place mentally, doesn't have a mature outlook on the use of physicality and force. And so I'm not someone that, like, wants to write Tyreek Hill off. I believe in second and third chances. When, you know, Greg Hardy got suspended, I was a guy that was like, hey, he bring him back to the NFL. But I'm just not someone that believes that, you know, that audio made Tyreek Hill sound innocent, and that audio certainly didn't make me believe that this guy needs some consequences for his behavior, some more consequences for his behavior. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, however long they suspend him, if they do suspend him, he should get another chance in the NFL. But this notion that somehow that audio makes Tyreek Hill sound innocent is preposterous to me.
A couple of things that you said there. One, for you, did it not change anything or make you feel any different that the fact that, in terms of him being believable, the fact that he did not know that he was being recorded? And secondly, in fairness to him, he didn't really say, yes, I do punch my kid in the chest, but you took that, his response, you took that as him going along with him doing that?
He certainly didn't offer a vigorous defense, and I don't know what his exact words are, but it was something like, okay, but what about you? And then his comments about, when we get inside the home, yeah, it's time for focus and serious, blah, blah, blah. No, did the guy say, yeah, you're right, I punched him in the chest? No, I don't expect that. The fact that he didn't know that he was being recorded, again, when you're in a state of delusion, when, look, there's, let's get OJ in a conversation, and he'll repeat all the same denials, whether he knows he's being recorded or not. When you're in a state of delusion, when you've been having this argument probably since 2014, it doesn't surprise me that Tyreek Hill stuck to his story, and it doesn't surprise me that she didn't really engage him that passionately in an argument that I'm sure they've had numerous, numerous, numerous times.
Jason, we've heard from a lot of Chiefs fans, maybe not as many as we did immediately when the KCTV5 audio came out, but we've still heard from Chiefs fans that want him off the Chiefs because he is not a positive figure for their favorite football team. Where do you stand on whether or not the Chiefs should get rid of him? Also, where do you stand on where we are just in the NFL today as far as what we allow, what we'll cheer for, so long as they're a quality athlete?
Well, again, I've already said I don't think he has to be removed from the Chiefs. I do think the Chiefs and or the NFL should discipline Tyreek Hill. But removal for the team, you know, that's for Clark Hunt and Andy Reid to decide. And basically, you know, the fans still there in Kansas City if they're good with Tyreek Hill. But, again, you got to remember, I believe in second or third or fourth chances. And so, to me, Tyreek Hill has a right to work and play in the NFL. You know, and again, he has escaped criminal charges. So I'm not someone that wants him run out of the NFL or run off the Kansas City Chiefs. What was your second question?
Basically, are you disheartened? You've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but is there any disappointment with the eagerness of football fans to embrace a player because of his talent and willingness to overlook whatever else is going on off the field? Because people are rallying around him right now in Kansas City, treating him as if he's a victim.
Yeah, I don't want to express it as disappointment, but I do think that if Tyreek Hill was the 20th best wide receiver in the NFL or the second best wide receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs, I think there would be less sympathy, and I don't think people would have heard that audio tape the way they say they heard it, as if, oh my God, Tyreek Hill's completely innocent here. My God, he wasn't being taped, and he said he didn't hit this woman. I don't think people would hear it that way if he wasn't such a talented, integral part of the Kansas City Chiefs. Fans are fans. Kansas City Chiefs fans desperately want to win a Super Bowl, desperately want, you know, this great young quarterback to reach his full potential and remain a superstar. And so, yeah, I think there's some bias in how people, Chiefs fans, are hearing that audio tape, no question about it. Is it disappointing? Maybe a little bit, but it's mostly, I just think, predictable. The guy is super talented, and he's, you know, he's an integral part of a football team that can be special. And so people are going to put their Kansas City Chiefs colored glasses on and hear our earpieces on and hear that audio how they want to hear it. I think I understand the argument of why people are hearing this audio tape the way that they are, but I would love for either one of you guys, Ron or Josh, to explain to me, What am I missing? What was said on this audio that was so exonerating?
Nothing, in our opinion, but it was the first time that many people have heard Tyreek Hill deny any wrongdoing. They may have read it in a release, but they've never heard it themselves.
And also, KCTV5 has been really helpful to make him look like he's the victim, because when they first initially had their... the audio they put out, it was like 2 or 3 minutes, and it was really, really making him look like a monster. Now, people don't even hear the other portions of the tape. It's just really, it seems like this news station was out to get him.
And I would agree. Channel 5 seems to have made a huge mistake not releasing the entire deal off the top. However, and again, that was wrong. They shouldn't have done it. Bad deal. And particularly on something this explosive. New topic, new period, new topic. Listening to that conversation, listening to the boy's mother say, this child is terrified of you, and the conversation about punching the child in the chest and the way that he handled it, and Tyreek's and said, well, everywhere we go, you know, my boy loves on me. He sounds so naive, unprepared, unqualified to be a parent, that it is terrifying. And it's like, oh, my God, that this guy thinks because the child shows him love outside the home in public, but then Tyreek says, yeah, but when we get in the home, now it's, you know, it's home like Donkey Kong, and I'm toughening this kid. What's he toughening this kid up for? Let's say Tyreek Hill grew up in a very violent inner city situation. I don't think that's the situation his child is growing up in. I don't think, based off the money Tyreek should be making from the NFL, I hope that he's supporting the child and the baby's mother in a way that they're not growing up in one of the most dangerous communities, you know. I guess I don't know where Tyreek grew up from, but what are you preparing your child for? Life, a life of violence, a life where he steps out the side of his home and he's going to be physically threatened all the time. His inference that somehow I'm really tough and I'm physical with this 3-year-old child because white people don't give a F about black kids, the whole thinking is illogical, irrational, inappropriate. That's not how you prepare a child, even if you did think you were sending a child off into the most racist world in society has to offer. Being physically aggressive with your child, punching him in the chest, whatever, that's not the preparation the kid needs. And so I just heard a young person who is a bit delusional and irrational, and is not being helped, I don't think, by a fan base that's running around saying, you're a victim in this, and you're completely innocent. Channel 5 did something wrong. They did. It's not so wrong that it's turned Tyreek Hill into the victim in this situation. The victim in this situation seems to be the child. The child had a broken arm. The mother is saying, regardless whoever broke his arm or however the child broke his arm, the mother is inferring that the kid is terrified of the father. The father's not completely denying that. I think we're too focused on Tyreek's victimhood and not perhaps on the real victims, which seem to be, based on the 2014 guilty plea, the mother, and based on these allegations and the conversation we heard, the child.
Jason, once again, appreciate you jumping on with this, and we appreciate your insight on this.
All right, thank you, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.